Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Huskies and the Kraken. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
So I think we'll all agree there were two big media events in the last 48 hours or so. Number one was Meghan and Harry's sit down with Oprah.
That was fairly large.
And then yes. Jerry DePoto with Chuck and Buck this morning on their radio show, in which Jerry came on and talked about the health of Jared Kelenic. Check it out.
Unfortunately, he is on the sideline right now. We suspect it's going to be like that for a little while here. My feelings on the matter have never changed or varied from the start, which is we feel like Jared has a chance to be an impact player for the Seattle Mariners for a number of years, and that future is incredibly important to us. And he's going to play in the big leagues this year. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, but he has to be healthy to do that.
The guy who conducted that conversation, along with his partner, Bucky Jacobson, is with us on the radio show, our friend Chuck Pell. Charles, how are you?
Hey, Chuck.
You know, Oprah was trying to get to Poto, and I'm like, put my foot down. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's our spring training week that we've launched this week, and we need Jerry to get that started on a Monday. So, look, O. Back off.
Yeah, I think you
should. Why are you fronting?
Yeah, tell Oprah to back the hell off and take a hike. She had her moment in the sun.
Yeah.
Quit trying to zoom in on my area here, pal. But
that's right.
Great conversation with Jerry this morning. And the Kelenic thing is actually, I mean, it's very coincidental, obviously. This is a guy who probably was. I thought this, Chuck, and I'm curious to get your take, that after Kevin Mather's comments, I thought the odds of him getting called up in April actually increased, that if they were thinking about keeping him down in extended spring training for a few more weeks because there's no AAA baseball until May, I thought Kevin Mather's comments in a backward kind of way actually may have helped Jared's chances. How about you?
Yeah, I it was an interesting kind of switch to the story, and it added so much more difficulty to Jerry's plate on a lot of different levels. But I entertained that thought, but I also entertained the other side of it where – if you're Jerry DePoto and you've told a player all along that this is how we're going to go, this mm-hmm. is how we're going to approach this thing, and then all of a sudden you let some bad PR change your mind at the last second, I kind of felt in the end that maybe he had to stick to his guns more so than ever. Even if Jared Kelenic hit 575 in spring, he might have to send him down to spring training just to prove to everyone in the organization that, no, we said he needs minor league time. We're going to get him minor league time. I mean, he doesn't even have the greatest beef of the prospects for being major league ready. By all accounts, Logan Gilbert seems to be ready to rock and fire for the Mariners this upcoming year. So I think Jerry was felt kind of the opposite. I get where you're coming from, but I think his approach has been, I can't do this. Otherwise, it looks like the players and this story are dictating the truth. I've got to stand on my truth, even if it's false.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, from a baseball standpoint, you're exactly right. But from a PR standpoint,
yeah.
He hits 574 in spring training and doesn't get injured, and Jerry DePoto, you know, keeps him down, then everybody is proven, quote-unquote, right that they were going to do it from the beginning just to save service time. So isn't this injury exactly what the doctor ordered? They just needed an excuse to get out of this PR hole they're in, and they got it.
Well, yeah, we were kind of joking about it this morning that Jared's sitting there saying, my knee's fine. Oh, no. This is the kind of condition that you do not want to risk on an airplane. Yeah. You can't travel with this kind of knee. You know, maybe it feels okay right now, but boy, you get on one air flight, it'll balloon up on you. No, you're going to have to go to Tacoma. Great air quality in Tacoma. It'll do a lot for that knee. So I can just imagine the conversation going back and forth because, yeah, it conveniently, if he could bring in like 10 different quacks, even if one of them's like Jeff, his, you know, his golf partner, his cobbler, and Jeff comes in there and says, no, I'm a doctor, and that knee looks like it needs 3 to 6 weeks. You know, they've got an opportunity to stretch this thing out and get him his minor league at-bats after all.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing, is that he's not going to have minor league at-bats because there's no Rainier season until May. So Jared Kelenic, I mean, let's say in the next couple of weeks he does heat up and he does have an incredible spring, and then he does what? He sits around in these simulated games for 30 days until AAA baseball begins in May. I mean, Chuck, this is a guy who has not played a competitive game in 18 months since September of 2019. How much more of this can he take?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, he's still on the, as Bucky's pointed out, he's still on the fast track. Look, I was on the side that you might as well activate him last year during the shortened season, get his feet wet. I mean, that's the side that I was on. But now that this entire mess has unfolded before our eyes, I almost think that in order to protect your reputation with your prospects, the entire organization, so that you don't come across as being, as them thinking you're liars, you go ahead and you suffer the hits from the fan base, the PR hits that you're going to encounter undoubtedly. So I think that they were determined to send him down to the minor leagues to get the more at-bats. And Jared Kelnick is not the type, guys. I mean, he's wired differently. I've joked about this in the past that, I mean, when he was 9 years old, he was telling his parents, why am I doing math? Why am I picking up my toys in my room? I'm going to be in the major leagues when I'm 10. You know, this is the kind of mentality that he brings to the table. He's not buying it, and he's not exactly taking the news lightly. I mean, the idea that he's going to go to the press twice during spring training and grouse about how he's being mistreated, you know he's been spoken to, He's gone from confident to suddenly brash, and now we're if not on the verge, we might have even gone past him being just flat-out defiant about this, mm-hmm. and it's trouble for the organization now and maybe for his entire time as a Mariner. So it absolutely has to be handled delicately. This is a game of operation right now. Don't touch the sides.
Chuck, the bullpen was a five-alarm fire last year, and it didn't really even appear like Jerry DePoto cared, because why do you need a bullpen when you're not going to compete anyway? How much better is it this year when they do expect to compete a little bit?
This game is a copycat game. I mean, we know professional sports is like that. The NFL does the exact same thing. I think that Jerry DePoto's, you know, looks at Tampa Bay and says, man, all they do is come at you like a swarm of hornets. It's just one guy throws 100 miles per hour after another. So he spent his offseason, you know, trying to find these type of pitchers. I mean, from Rafael Montero to Keenan Middleton to, you know, Joey Gerber, who they already had, and Johan Ramirez, who pitched last year and was quite effective at times, particularly against right-handers. I mean, he's got 7, 8, 9 guys that throw 98 to 101. In this organization that, you know, they're not going to all pan out, but if 4 or 5 of them do, then he can come at opponents in waves. And so that was the idea. You throw in a couple of left-handers like Masuich, I can't get his name right, and Fletcher, and you've got yourself what should be a better bullpen. I mean, is it solved? You guys know how fluctuating a bullpen can be from year to year. But I think that this will be a far more competitive bullpen, and you're still going to be searching for which pieces are the keepers. If we can get 2 or 3, and then we add another layer of them going into next season when we feel we'll be most competitive, then all of a sudden we could have a fixed bullpen. We could have a really powerhouse bullpen by 2022.
Yeah, Masuich's name you got right. It's Fletcher's name that you mispronounced.
Is that right?
It's Fletcher, by the way. So just get that right. You know what, okay, Chuck? Sorry. I want to go back to the Kelnick conversation for a second, because you said something there to me that I think is an issue. That you may have planted a seed in this guy's mind before he even plays a game for you that you can't be trusted. So if Jared Kelnick ends up killing it and he plays his 6 years in Seattle, when it comes time to, I mean, I don't know, does this guy hold a grudge for that long? Is he going to be looking to get the hell out of here the minute his contract is over in 6 years from now when he's, you know, up for free agency? I mean, they got to find a way to mend some fences and restore some credibility, and the guy hasn't even taken a freaking AB yet with them.
Yeah, and by the way, that message also has to be delivered to Jared. It's like, you haven't taken a major league at bat.
And to Julio Rodriguez, maybe even. Both of them.
Yeah, but, you know, you were calling out the general manager of the organization twice in a week.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, Chris Bryant has been through what you've been through. George Springer's been through what you've been through. And even to this day, they haven't called the general manager a liar in the press twice in a week. And so, you know, he's got to do some growing up as well. He's got to get Seager and Gonzalez in his ear, guys that he trusts. And I would just say, to your point about what damage did they do to Kelnick, you got 6 years to undo the damage.
Right, yeah.
You know,
right.
You're not going to trade him. You're not going to move on from him. You got 6 years to surround him. This young group is really tight. It was the first question I asked of our first interview for our Mariners spring training week of Justin Dunn about this very topic. I said, well, I've been around this group for the last couple of years at spring training. You guys are so tightly knit. Did this do any damage to your camaraderie? He said, absolutely not. He said that the comments were hurtful, and there are people angry. I think everybody was angry about it, but we are still a tight group. And so Jerry and Scott have to lean on that and hope that his teammates over the course of the next 6 years sure. can also kind of call him off the ledge.
Ken Griffey Jr. held a grudge about the Yankees for 50 years. So who knows how long this thing.
Right.
By the way, it's Misevich is how you pronounce his
Misevich.
Last name. Just so you know. I'm just trying to help you out.
Good. Thank you. I always get it wrong.
Yeah.
You mentioned Rodriguez, Chuck. 3-for-12 thus far, no damage. Walk, 5 strikeouts. How far is he away?
I would say next year. It would be, you know, probably midway through next year. I think maybe he could get a call up at the end of this season so we could get a first taste of him. We should have a full season, and so maybe we get our first taste, get a look at him at the end of this year around September. I mean, I haven't gotten a lot of exposure to them. I'm not getting to see these guys play at the minor league level. They didn't even play at the minor league level last year. So I'm going off reports, the same thing that you guys are. But, you know, Bucky compares him to Miguel Cabrera, for goodness sake, when he watches him hit in a cage. So there's no doubt the tools there to be a terrific hitter. And he got a message in the offseason as well. I think he and Justin Dunn both came back, you know, where they were leaner and stronger, and their bodies just look better. You know, I think there might be a potential there to be kind of skinny fat. You know what I mean? Where it can be a little soft, those two guys. But I think both of them kind of course corrected that. And Julio's starting to, you know, grow into his man body at this point. But from an offensive standpoint, he's, you know, by all accounts, he's as gifted as any minor leaguer in the entire sport. So I think that the future is really bright. He's another one, softy, that you got to make sure he's not bothered by this, that you got to make sure that he's on aboard Team Mariner. But, I mean, guys, Kyle Lewis won Rookie of the Year, and he's the third best prospect in the outfield in the organization. So you keep these three together, even if one or two of them leaves free agency. Even if you can keep them together for 5 seasons, we're going to have a lot of fun watching these three roam that outfield.
Didn't Miguel Cabrera get busted for steroids, or was that Melky Cabrera?
Melky.
Melky got it. Yeah, I got you.
Don't get your Melky and your Miguel confused.
Yeah, sorry about that. Chuck Powell, who has never been busted for steroids, although
twice.
I'd say it's pretty obvious if you look at the size of the guy's head, for God's sakes, is with us on the radio show.
Bond.
Had a great conversation with Jerry DePoto this morning. It's up on the website on the podcast. So you tell me, man, 1 to 10 means... one, I guess, would mean, whatever, nobody cares. It's kind of a zero. I'm not even sure who the guy is. And 10 is I'm having a Meg Ryan moment here,
yes!
Okay?
Yes!
How excited should I be about Mitch Haniger being healthy?
Well, I'm going to go 6.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I think that, you know, I asked the three different beat writers of the Mariners on Twitter the other day, who's the talk of camp? I'm not talking about storylines. I'm talking about physically who's impressing coaches and front office types down there. And all three of them responded with Taylor Trammell and Mitch Haniger. So it sounds like he's about back to old Mitch Haniger. But here's the truth, guys. I mean, here's what we want to see out of Mitch Haniger. We want him to have an all-star game type first half. You know, we want him to represent the Mariners, and then we want to trade him at the trading deadline. You know, I think that's kind of the goal for Mitch Haniger. The hope is that he's 100%, and then you move him for some really good pieces for the following year. Because again, I think that your outfield by summer of 2022 is Kelnick, Lewis, and Rodriguez, and if not Rodriguez, Trammell, who cannot be forgotten in this conversation. So if you can get Haniger back and get his trade value back, I mean, that's going to be his value, in my estimation, to the organization. Get him back to all-star caliber, flip him at the deadline, and get more pieces for this movement going forward.
Is this rotation good enough and deep enough to at least keep the team in games into the sixth and seventh every night?
I think this is the really secret of this team that doesn't get talked about enough. I really liked what I saw out of Sheffield this past year. I think, I mean, Justin Dunn, I think you're going to see take strides forward. Marco, I think Marco's going to be an all-star this year. I really do.
Somebody has to be.
And look, I mean, I've never been big on Marco Gonzalez, but there is more than one way to succeed as a major league pitcher. You don't have to throw 100 miles per hour. He's got an 80 graded changeup. I mean, that's Johan Santana stuff. That's as good as there is in Major League Baseball. And he's not like he's throwing 82. He's not, or 72 like Jamie Moyer. I think Marco Gonzalez might not ever be a true ace, but I think he is going to turn into an all-star right before our eyes this season. And then you add Paxton to that. You got Gilbert waiting in the wings. I think it's going to be the strength of the team this year. I think that the starting rotation is something that is kind of backburnered because of Kelnick and Lewis and Rodriguez and all of the big offensive names on the prospect list. But I think the starting rotation is going to be sneaky effective this year.
Well, I love the addition of Paxton, man. I really do. I mean, the guy pitched in five games last year, for God's sakes. I mean, how in the world can anybody judge anything based on five games? I know Fernando Tatis got a gigantic contract based on 60 games, so the Padres certainly think he can, but the last time Paxton had a full season in 2019, ERA plus a 117, which is above average in the major league, sub 4 ERA, 115 games, so I really like the Paxton signing a lot, but you got a big week coming up, man. Virtual spring training week on the radio show. What's up for day two tomorrow? What do you guys got planned?
Well, a lot of prickly pear margaritas that we're going to be downing to celebrate Arizona and spring training. I will also be giving few free mule rides on the show.
Perfect.
Tomorrow. But we will have Dylan Moore at 7:20. We will have Scott Service at 7:45. We will have Dave Sims on at 8:25. And when we do this, there are always surprises that drop in our laps during the course of the show. So tune in for the surprises as well.
I love it. Next time you see Oprah, tell her to back the hell off. Man, this is your show. It's your territory, man. Great
stuff.
I'm
going to call her right now.
You should call her. Call her Purple Schmurple. You shut your mouth, lady, all right? Get out of my territory. All right, man, awesome stuff. Tomorrow morning, Dylan Moore, Scott Service, Dave Sims. By the way, anything else later in the week that you want to mention? Some big names are coming up as well, I know.
Well, we're going to have Marco Gonzalez Wednesday for sure. We're going to have Tom Murphy on Thursday for sure. And we're working on, a couple of the legends down there. Maybe we're hoping that Junior arrives down there. So, kind of fingers crossed on that front. But, we should pretty much bang out just about everybody down there that you want to hear from. And Kyle Seager as well, who had to back out for Tuesday's show, but we should get him a little bit later on in the week. So we're going to have some fun with it. So I appreciate it.
Good luck with Junior, by the way, getting him on. There might be a better shot at you getting Megan and Harry on the show than Junior. So we'll see. The challenge is on, baby. All right, Chuck, great stuff, dude. Have fun, man.
Thanks, man.
All right, you're my heroes.
Of course. Wow. We are everybody's heroes. Chuck Powell with us on the show. Had a great conversation with Jerry DePoto this morning. Check it out on the radio show, or excuse me, on the podcast page at sportsradiokjr.com. And tomorrow, Dylan Moore, Scott Service, Dave Sims. I don't think anybody really outside of Divish is traveling to Arizona. He's down there, right? Ryan's down there, is he not?
Corey Brock's also down
Corey
there.
Corey Brock is also down there as well. So
Corey drove.
Not a lot of radio. He drove.
Drove.
You know what that's called, man? That's called commitment, baby, is what that
right.
is. So Chuck is still doing all of his baseball stuff he normally would do. They're just doing it remotely from home. 5:41. Christian Capel is going to join us on the radio show at 6 p.m. Talk some Husky football.
You don't say.
Right here on Softy and Dick on 950 K.